Good morning, 7:57 a.m. on February the 13th, 2014. 1735, yes. 1735 on the first mile, first half. That's a little bit better. Traveling is not a whole lot better today, but it's early. Day is still young. I took the kids to school, dropped her off, then I came back and immediately got my gear on, came for my walk. It's actually not too bad. I'm a bit overdressed. It's 30-something degrees, 32, 33 at this point, I think. But sun's coming up. When I'm walking in the sun, the sun feels really quite warm. Walking in the shade, it's not as warm. Yeah, somebody offered a suggestion that I get some slip-on traction guides for my boots. It's not a bad idea. It's not the first time I've heard it. I've got Eastern Mountain Sports apparently does something called a Yak Track. That's sort of like a slip-on, not quite crampon, for walking in ice and snow. The thing is, I keep saying this, this is not a normal winter. This is quite possibly the harshest winter since we've moved here 20 years ago. And I'd be interested to see what the snowpack is in high country and whether or not we've finally reversed the drought conditions. So today I'm thinking about statistics. The Hugh Howey report on books with the page scraper that went through and captured rank data. Good morning. Yeah. Captured rank data for a whole lot of Amazon titles was critiqued, not too surprisingly, by the digital book world resident statistician, the woman who did the survey that's indicated that 80% of all authors who finish a manuscript get published and submit to an agent or editor are traditionally published, a number which I find stretches my credibility to pretty much way over the limit. If this were true, then the cliche about all the writers who have papered their garrets in rejection slips. Yeah, I suppose that if you keep doing it long enough, eventually you might get traditionally published. And I suppose that if you include shorts and novellas that get rolled into magazines and never sell more than 7 copies as traditionally published, which in fact it would be, I suppose that probably accounts for some of it. It's still a number that I find to be somewhat disingenuous. But anyway, she took on Howey's data, and she downloaded the data, and then ran some statistical analysis across it, and found that, according to her numbers, the people who were the best off were published on Amazon, and that there was no significant difference between indie and mainstream publishing in terms of expected earnings based on median incomes within the group. And she was kind enough to actually give us the post hoc ANOVA, the analysis of variance that she used to make those determinations. This is great because it really showed how little she understands the distribution of the data. Because to begin with, Bonferroni is a mechanism for weeding out cross group or cross family error, and as such, it's really quite reliable. Except, it doesn't work on data that's not normally distributed very well. It's robust, that is, it works on data that is slightly skewed. The technical term is kurtic. But data that is extremely kurtic or platykurtic doesn't work so well. In fact, it doesn't work at all. And the flag in my brain that set me off was when I looked at the Digital Book World piece. The standard deviation on most of them was more than twice the mean, and in one case at least 12 times the median. Now the median is the value wherein half of the sample points are above and half of the sample points are below. It's in the middle of the range. And as might be expected, the middle of the range in a power law distribution is really quite low. The argument that he's only measuring the top 1% of authors, which is valid, still doesn't get around the fact that the data are nowhere near normally distributed. When the max on the data is 2 million and the min is like 50, while it's possible that data is a data set is normally distributed, the reality is we know the nature of sales to be governed not by normal theory, but by power law theory. So the 80-20 rule. Within the sample, 20% of the respondents are going to, 20% of the data points are going to account for 80% of the variability within each sample, within each range. That's going to be pretty much the norm. Now the question is whether or not there is homogeneity of variance, and she didn't run the test to determine if there was. And if there isn't, and I suspect that there wouldn't be, because the nature of the quality control, so-called, in the different segments. So big five, we would expect to have less variation. We would expect there to be less variance in across the samples in big five than it would be in Indy or undisclosed single title publisher. And that is also a requirement for the Bonferroni test to be applied appropriately. So she's got two very important problems in her application of that particular statistical test. And of course, she starts out with how she has a PhD in statistics and she's got a lot of experience in dealing with this kind of data. But, you know, it sort of strains my credulity again when we start looking at basic statistical ideas, which is that you have to use the test that matches the data. That you can't use means are meaningless on categorical data. What's the average of red, yellow, and blue? No. Doesn't work that way. Preference, you can do an average on preference. Do people prefer one color over another in your sample? And if it's appropriately selected sample, then you can actually draw some conclusions about a larger population. But the problem with this is that she's trying to draw conclusions based on a flawed statistic, a flawed statistical test, and then extrapolate that onto future works to determine into a larger population in order to determine what the probability is. Okay, you're better off going indie or mainstream or what? And of course the answer is, or what? Because statistical analyses are not going to account for risk aversion, monk pull. Among other things, it's not going to account for risk aversion. So, what do I want from my writing? How averse am I to risk? And what sorts of risks am I averse to? If I'm somebody like Alex White, who really wants that gold ring, who really wants that trad pub deal, who really wants to see his books on bookstore shelves and potentially made into movies and all the other stuff that the top 1/1000th of 1% of mainstream authors get. You know, he's a young guy. He's got time. He can afford to wait. He can afford to shop. He can afford to submit a manuscript and wait for a year for the rejection before he submits to the next. To wait a year for a rejection. That's a little, I'm being a bit hyperbolic. Most of the agents that I wrote to reported my rejections within a few days, some within a few weeks. Some didn't respond at all. I think two never responded at all. One responded after 6 months and said, no, not interested. So there's a wide variance in times to response. And there are some that are, there's always the horror story. When you work in a collection of writers, there's always one guy or gal who's waited 2 years for her rejection. They waited so long, in fact, that they forgot that they submitted it, so they've gone ahead and self-published it. So, yeah, there's that. But I'm not that way. For me, going mainstream would be totally inappropriate. I can't afford to wait in the geologic timescales that mainstream press works on, and I can't afford to accept their contracts. I mean, that was the big thing about turning down the big. When they offered me as much for the 6-book set as I make in a week on releasing a new book, there's no financial incentive there. What we can put you in bookstores is not actually A, true, B, all that attractive. So there's that non-numeric, that qualitative component to that sort of decision, which makes this whole framing, this whole argument as where's the best place to publish, somewhat off the mark, somewhat lacking. And then there's the rephrasing it in the indie versus mainstream, us versus them. As far as I can tell, with some exceptions for people who are militantly anti-mainstream, and the majority of mainstream authors, notably the ones that get articles published in The Guardian and The Mail and The Times Literary Supplements. It's just not that. I don't really care what other people do. I guess that's what it boils down to. You want to go mainstream? Go mainstream. If you can afford to take a mainstream deal, take the mainstream deal. If that's what you want, take it. It's not. I'm not quite sure of this adversarial framing. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks I don't really care what other people do, because I'm just that self-centered. I'm just that egocentric. Is it the same thing, self-centered and egocentric? Yeah, probably. Anyway, it's just, what are the odds? For me, the odds are really good that I'm going to be dead in 10 years. They're really good that I'm going to be dead in 20 years. They're almost 100% that I'm going to be dead in 30 years. Which would be pretty cool, because that'd be half my lifetime again. But the truth is, I'm not likely to make it to 90. Oh, I'm going to have to wait for this school bus. Boy, walking directly into the sun has really jacked my body heat up. I'm sweating. Sweating with the oldies. So yeah, I can't afford to wait 10 years to get 6 books published or 12 books published or whatever. I can't afford that kind of delay. And I can't afford any of the contracts that have been offered to me. So, yeah. That's me. Very curious. So let's see, looking ahead, what's on for today? I finished Cowrie Catchers yesterday. I had one last batch of retakes that I had to do. And I got the word last night from Abby that this project that began in 2009, 5 years I've spent being Gerard in the Guild of the Cowrie Catchers. Wow. And it won't be long. It's coming up next month. This is February already. It's coming up next month. It's the 3rd anniversary. I was talking on my morning walk. I was talking about that yesterday on the picture when I finally got back out again. People on Google Plus were... Somebody was saying, your picture's tilted. And it does look tilted because of the horizon. And I look at it every morning and say, that picture's tilted. And I come out looking, no, it's not the picture that's tilted. It's the horizon that's tilted. The horizon goes a very subtle rise from right to left. So the horizon on the left side of the photo is a little bit higher than the horizon on the right. And that for a long time, what I was doing was matching the horizon to make the horizon horizontal, which made everything else in the picture tilted. And it was quite a while. I think if we look at the earlier pictures, there was some point where I stopped paying attention. Oh, 19 minutes on the back half. Yikes. 1855. Well, hey. I'm out of shape. Traveling is crappy. Yeah, I stopped paying attention to the horizon and started paying attention to holding the camera level. That was based on the post, which I believe every day I press up against the post. And I believe the post to be relatively plumb. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's the horizon. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.